Good morning.
Morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. We've been having a good discussion around here. If you want to come here around 9:30 in the Sunday mornings, we talk about a little bit of everything. And mostly we talk about our people that's sick and not doing well this morning. So keep them in thought and prayer. Keep our government in thought and prayer. That seems to be a hot topic, you know, for some and many. Our minds are just going every which way, and our thoughts and all. So my encouragement to us is to know who you are in Christ Jesus is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Knowing that we have a Lord that saved us and sealed us and sanctified us, and by doing so, we have also an apostle that we can go to in his writings and see what we need to think about today. You may agree, you may disagree that learning the Bible, understanding the Bible, and the key to understanding the Bible is right division. That's made a difference in your life.
Amen.
And knowing how to study and knowing what this world is out there. And if you're tuning in via our website, YouTube channel, our Facebook page, also I mentioned the Boxcast app. If you got a smartphone, if you got a smart TV, you can go to boxcast.com. It's a little green application that you put on your thing, and then you search for Dispensational Bible Church, and you can watch us right now live on your TV set. So the technology is there, and we're thankful for that. We did have some prayer requests and praise items that we talked about earlier. I want to lift them up to you. Let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. Thank you for the time that you have allowed us here on this earth. Well, we thank you for another day of grace, that and with doing so, we'll be able to teach the word of God right and divided. And Father, as we think about the people that's not here and that are sick and that are ailing for many other problems, Lord, we want to lift them up to you. And in doing so, it gives us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get right into lesson today. We're in lesson 33. And 33. That's 33 weeks. So, hey, I'm enjoying every minute of it. I hope you are too. And it's making a difference in my life. I hope it's making a difference in your life. Now, we have moved. You think about the chart and review. That's where we're at. We're actually where the fundamentals of dispensationalism is just giving you a breakdown of the dispensational view of God's Word. Many of you see this. Many of you have seen it. And many of you glory in it. And we are thankful for the chart behind us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you think about it. The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel. The book of Acts. The renewed offer of repentance to Israel. The fall of Israel. Salvation going to the Gentiles. And the transition between the kingdom program and the dispensation of grace. That's what this chart where we're looking at right now. I went through that very quickly. But many of you know this. Now when we get to the book of Romans, the first thing we come to in Romans is the ministry of a who? Peter? Paul. Okay, Apostle Paul. And it's a natural thing to follow the book of Acts. And when you come into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the earthly ministry of Christ, right? And then John the Baptist and a new offer to the nation Israel right here. Now, he offered that to the nation Israel, did he not? He just didn't single out some people right yet. He just said, hey, nation Israel, get right with God. And a new offer to them. And a new thing that came on the scene about the kingdom going to be at hand. Right? They preached that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then the king is crucified, he is resurrection, and the offer of the kingdom was made to the nation Israel, and did they accept it? The whole nation Israel said he was the Messiah, he was crucified, he died. Did all the nation Israel accept that? No, they did not. They rejected it. And through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to who? The Gentiles. Yeah, so we thank God for that. Because without that fall, guys, I hope you, I know some of you are seeing this very clearly. Without the fall and the setting aside of the nation Israel, we still wouldn't have no salvation through faith. Okay? Without the nation Israel, okay? Nothing was outside the nation Israel. And you come to the book, the end of the book of Acts, and you see a middle wall partition has fallen, and the nation of Israel has been indicted and set aside. Last week was a question about the nation middle wall partition. That's what was right here that stopped the Gentiles from going into Israel, salvation. That wall had to be eliminated so you have full access to Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll find that out to be true. One of the rules you want to remember is we do not interpret Paul's epistles in the light of the book of Acts. Okay? A lot of people do. They want to go in the book of Acts. See, Paul was here, Israel. Paul was here, synagogue. Paul was here, Jews. You don't interpret that way. It's not what Paul says in the book of Acts that causes you to interpret his epistles, but you interpret the book of Acts in light of his epistles. Now, if you want to know what Paul is teaching in Acts 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, you don't look in the book of Acts to find it about, because it is not written for the purpose of telling you what Paul is teaching. It's showing you where he's at. Now, the book of Acts is written for the purpose of showing you the indictment against what nation? Israel. And why God Almighty set the nation of Israel aside, and why the program in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost was carried on there. And why that program that was in Acts begins is not what it ends with. That's what it's explaining to you, the transition. And if you know what Paul's taught in the book of Acts, you know at his Acts epistles, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and the 2 Thessalonians, and we find out what he taught. And if you want to know what he knew, read the books he wrote, and he'll tell you what he knew. That's why a lot of these Acts 28 are saying Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, not written to you, because they're taking it as to be Jewish epistles. And that's not true. Now, when you come to Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, doctrinally, you have come to the doctrine that is about us, the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's forming a body of Christ. And who's the head of that body?
Jesus Christ.
You believe that, don't you? Where do you find that out to be true? Paul's epistle. Nowhere will you find that before Paul, back all the way over here to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, will you find that there any evidence that God was going to form a body with him being head. You'll find about a kingdom, about a king. Now, can a king be a head of a kingdom? Yes. But this is not the same thing, guys. Not the same thing. So what Paul is giving us is doctrine for us. All the Bible is what? For us, but is it all to you?
No.
That's hard for some to believe, ain't it? Because, the Bible's written all over. The Bible's written all for me. It's for you, but is it to you? You know, the ye's and the you's and the ye's, y'all. That type of thing. Makes a difference. Ye men of Israel. Could he be talking to all of them right there? And then he says, you with wicked hands. That type of thing. And these stop with one thing. Now, in Romans to Philemon, you have come to that special portions of God's word that is both to us and about us. We have some mail, guys. You know, we've been sitting here working through the Bible, and it was the mail basically was delivered to Israel. Us Gentiles didn't have nothing at all, but was a way for a Gentile to be saved in time past. Yes, we can never get over that. There was always an opportunity. And if it is for us, but is more than for us, it is also to us and written about us. In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles." Now, Paul is the apostle to who? The Gentiles. We are Gentiles, so it's easy to understand that who is our apostle?
Paul.
See? Now, I only know a few Hebrews that was born that way. Now, you're not born a Jew. You know that. Jew is religion. You can become one, but you got to be born a Hebrew to be a Hebrew. You can't become a Hebrew. You know what I'm saying? So many of us Gentiles is born and been taught that you can become a Jew and you become a proselyte and you believe the religion. And then you're part of that program. But he is our apostle. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. What does it say? "Howbeit that by revelation..." "Now that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." The things Paul wrote in his epistles are things that Christ revealed to him and to be sent to us. It is a very important passage, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual..." Paul says, if anyone says I'm a prophet, and you got a lot of people saying that, don't you? Turn on TV, there's all kinds of TV prophets. "I got a message from God, or if I'm spiritual, okay? Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord." That's a big thing, yeah. If you think about it. The things that Paul says I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Lord gave Paul writings. Lord gave Paul commandments. Lord gave Paul ordinances. Lord gave Paul words. And if we're going to be anything today, we better be word people. We're actually people of the Bible. We're not people of this earth. We're not people. We're not, you know, a couple weeks ago or so, I went to this gathering, and this guy's dressed up in a Scottish kilt, you know, that type of thing. I said, I've got about 26% Scottish in me. He says, "Oh, yeah, what clan are you from?" That's what they call you, you know, over there, that type of thing. And you're like, uh-oh, is that a bad word or a good word, that type of thing. But it's not, you know. It was just identifying his people, what part was you from. Now, you think about that for a minute. Us being saved in the body of Christ, we're not part of a clique, a sect, a clan. We're part of members of the body. We talked about earlier, members in particular, aren't we? Each one of us is different. We don't want cookie cutters, you know, but we got the same mind. Jesus Christ does our thinking for us, and that sets us apart when you come to the Word of God. Now, does God ever violate your free will?
Yeah.
Does God ever tell Barb, "You got to think this way or else"? He shows you. He says, "Hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want you to do." But if not, what do? We reap what we sow, right? So the commandments of God for us today are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's... You're shaking your head yes or no back there?
No.
No. It's found where?
In
Romans 2, Philemon, Paul's epistle. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. A little congested this morning. It's important to understand how Paul's epistles are laid out structurally. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Some scriptures are given by inspiration of God. What does it say?
All
scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto how many good works? All good works. Everything you ever need to do, every good work that God Almighty ordained the body of Christ to do, and you as a member of the body of Christ to perform, you are equipped to do the word of God. Now that's a charge. He charges Timothy, don't he? You think about that. You think about, now, I'm not going to be ugly, but a lot of us has been taught in churchdom that preacher's, it's his responsibility to do everything. I'm paying him to do this. He needs to go out here and get people in this church. Meanwhile, y'all sit back, not y'all, I'm just used to sit back and just say, I'm happy to be here. No, it's our responsibility, okay? And equip. Now you notice what he says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And he lists some of the categories of profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction. Doctrine, reproof, correction is what makes up the issue in instruction in righteousness. If all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, was these books, Hebrews, Genesis, and Malachi, is that an inspiration of God?
Yep.
How about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts? How about Hebrews through Revelation? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, okay? Now, what kind, I may jump around a little bit, but what kind of profit can you get out of Genesis through Malachi?
Understanding.
Is it to you or for you?
Not
for our learning. So to me's here. For me's here. Can I gain some type of profit out of the word of God in Genesis and Malachi? I believe I can. I believe I can. I can see what Israel done and say, whew, I don't want to go down that road. Politically and spiritually. Okay? And you got to keep that in mind. God just didn't, when Lord Jesus Christ come on this earth, he said, I've come to cause division. I'm going to put man against father's daughter, that type of thing. He knew what that corruptness was. But if he could divide them and get them thinking who he is, would make a difference. That's what you think about today. And if you're going to have righteousness and be instructed in righteousness, first you have to have the doctrine. Well, Matthew, you think Jesus Christ taught doctrine back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Mm-hmm. Where did he get his doctrine from?
From himself.
Not only from himself, but what he did not, what did he not stray from?
God's a father.
Not only God the Father, but what did you say?
The law, the Old Testament teachings.
What did you say?
The law.
Okay, but was that written in their hearts? Was it written on stones? Or was it written in a...
What was written?
He did not stray from the word of God to answer anybody.
When he asked that question, he said, what does the scripture say?
What saith the scriptures? That's what we all should say. Romans 4 says that, don't it? What saith the scriptures? Abraham, that type of thing. God. So anyway, you don't stray from the word. These are facts. These are not false facts. Did I tell you the other day I mentioned about, I posted on Facebook about how pineapple helps you coughing a little bit? Mm. And those facts checked or shut it down, said it's not true, pineapple, da-da-da-da. And you're like, come on, it does help. Okay? And so I, you know, facts checkers out there, you want to have your facts correct. And that's the only way, when you get the doctrine inside of you, you know right now if Romans is a book of doctrine for you, you're going to get your base doctrine out of there. You're going to get it down inside of you. It's going to make up your mind and be able to undiscern some things. They had doctrine back here. Jesus Christ taught doctrine. And what does doctrine mean? I just gave you in that sentence. Teaching. That's what doctrine, teaching. What are you being taught? And first you have to have that and the teaching about it. Then you have to have reproof in regard to it. And that is when your life and your behavior does not match the doctrine of truth, that needs to be correction with regard to your behavior. That's why Corinthians is, if you look at the Corinthian church, have you ever seen the Corinthian church in the Bible? It's not a model church. It's not a church that you would want to bring your kids to. They had some bad behavior problems. And Paul comes down hard on them. Okay? And then some people says, well, how do you, what? You know, you need to say this with love, and you need, I'm all for that. But sometimes you have to look at somebody in the face and say, you know, you continue to do that, you're going to die, and you're going to die in sin. It's going to kill you. Now, was the Corinthian church saved?
Yes.
Yes, they was. And that's what gets people, well, how can you do this? You grace people, you say you can do this and do that. Listen, do you want to do that? No, you don't want to continue to sin in sin, right? God forbid. Then that is what we call reproof. That is a reproof to focus on behavior. It's okay to reproof each other. I get reproofed every once in a while by some brothers out there. That's okay. I don't turn it away. You know what I mean? I take it. I can take, what do you call it, instructor criticism. And when you got brothers out there who loves you, and they see you kind of going off into different behavior, it's okay to reel people in. You know what I mean? It's okay to say, hey, son, you know better than this. Especially when they know who they are in Christ. And it's going to be a war from the time we're born to the time we die. Take that dirt bath. And there's going to be a struggle between this flesh and your spiritual man. And that's what this is about. And correction is adjustment with regard to what you believe. And so you have doctrine, and then you have reproof, which is correcting behavior that does not match with the doctrine, and then correction, which is correcting belief, error in doctrine, error in behavior. I mean, that's a process, dudes. Ma'ams. Dudes is being exposed. But that's a process, guys. It just don't come overnight. I mean, you used to hear people say, I got saved last night, I quit drinking, I quit drugging, I quit this, I quit that, I quit doing this. And you're like, praise God, how am I? You see them 6 months later, well, I just couldn't put that cigarette down. Well, if they're saved, they're saved. But this flesh is so powerful that Paul says, yield your members to righteousness or what? Unrighteousness. He knew what this flesh was. The things I want to do, I find myself not doing. But the things I don't want to do, I'm doing. You think Paul had a problem?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And those three things are what make up instructions in righteousness. And you cannot have instruction in righteousness without those three. You have to have that building block to get that instruction in righteousness. Now, many of us have kids. Many of us have kids. And when they're 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, and you're out there working, providing for your family and stuff like that, you come home and little Junior ain't doing what he's supposed to do. But you just don't know, Dad. You just don't know what I'm going through. How many times you look down and says, really? Sit down. How much time you got? Let me show you. And sometimes they don't want to hear, do they? So Did they get reproof? Did they get corrected? To be now you come back and you say, they look at you and say, you know something, Dad? You was right.
Still waiting for that.
In there, still waiting for it. But you know what I mean? You know, I think Mark Twain or somebody once said that when I was 17 years old, I thought my dad was the stupidest person on the earth. But now I'm 24, I realize he's gained a lot of information since then. That type of thing, you know, that's because you have to let them grow and think, but on some you need to instruct them. And there's a right way and a wrong way, right? But look, people say, I want something practical. I want to know how to live. I want to know how to get over things. How do I get a better job? I just need my mind made up. How many's been through that thing here lately? How many, do you ever still question yourself like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
In the ministry, you can do that quite often. Is this really the right gospel? And you look around, there's seven people here today, five people, one people. You ever think about that? Like, what? Why ain't they here?
Ain't no going back.
Amen. And some of us are that way. Doctrine is the most practical thing you will ever get your hands on, because doctrine is a thing that your spiritual life is made of. In time past, Israel had physical and spiritual, didn't they? You think you're any difference today in the body of Christ? You physical and spiritual? We dwell on a lot of physical, I mean spiritual things, don't we? We're a spiritual body. We're going to be sitting in the heavenly places. But right now, you're still in the physical. And if you don't get that doctrine inside of you, in that God-given conscience that He's gave us to fill that void in there, it needs to live. It needs to breathe. It needs to learn. And I tell people all the time, the same God that said, died on that cross, was buried and rose again, lives inside of you if you're saved today. Now, if He's living inside of you and He spoke this word in existence, and He spoke and He lived by the word, what would you think that spirit needs? The word. Long time ago, back in the early days of Pal Talk and Yahoo Chat, they had before Facebook, long before Facebook, you had Yahoo chat lines and stuff like that, going back and forth with these people, and I'm posting scriptures with their answers, you know, their questions. This one guy goes, "You and your paper God." That's what he did. I'm quoting scriptures and posting scriptures. Paper God, I'm thinking, he has no idea how powerful that word is.
It outlived him. It was before him.
And that word comes off that page. Illumination gets inside of the soul of a believer. It makes a difference if you believe it. Now, you can get inside of you and not believe it and make your flesh and make your spirit say, "No, I think this is really what God wants me to do." You know what I'm saying? We say this all the time. The Holy Spirit will not work on the basis of ignorance. And once you get that spirit inside of you and you got the right of word of God in you, it's going to make a difference in your life. Now, grant you, you're still going to have a battle, as we talked about. Now, reproof is to teach you to adjust your conduct in line with the doctrine. And correction is to adjust your thinking in line with the doctrine. And those three things made up the prophet of the scriptures has for us. Instruction and righteousness for those three categories. Now, when Paul writes his epistles, he writes in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, you know where he writes that in the book of Acts? Acts 18. So he's way over here in Acts 18 before he writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Then he writes 1 Corinthians in Acts 19. And he writes 2 Corinthians and Romans and Acts 20. It would really be something when you, I think I can still do that. Like where my Bible is, atop, like Galatians, established 13, in Acts 13 through Acts 14. I write where that book was established so you can go back a little bit and say, whoa, this is what they was dealing with. And then he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians later on at the end of the book of Acts, after the fall and the diminish of Israel had been concluded. You have these books written in what you call their chronological order. That's how they're written. And that is the order in which they are written. But are they found in your Bible that way?
No.
You know, what's the first book of doctrine for the body of Christ? Paul's epistles.
Romans.
He didn't write that first. He writes either Galatians or Thessalonians first. Then you think, wait a minute, why wouldn't he put that over here? You know, why is it laid out? You ever try to read the Bible chronologically?
It's the doctrine.
It's the doctrine. Reproof, correction. See? And it's this order, that is the order in which it's written, but they're not found that way. They're found in what we call a canonical order. That is the order that appear in the scriptures themselves. Now, we haven't studied manuscript evidence. But if you think about the canon of the New Testament, when those New Testament prophets put the canon of New Testament scriptures together, they followed the design of 2 Timothy 3:16 and in Romans 16:25 and 26. Just like you saw Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was a spiritual design in those books. Remember? King, man, the servant, God. That's why you have four of them, not five of them. And they're likewise the spirit designed to follow doctrine, reproof, and correction. It's not a mistake, guys. You know, I got a lot of people out there saying the Bible is written by man. You've been down that road. The first book, of course, is Romans, a book of doctrine. And then you have 2 Corinthians epistles. And the Corinthian epistles are reproof. They are reproof in the light of the doctrine of Romans. Okay? And then you have the book of Galatians. Galatians is correcting about the doctrine errors in connection with what they've taught in the book of Romans. Then you have the book of Ephesians. And there is that is the next book and the next book of doctrine. We go over this all the time. I can't tell you enough. Then you have Philippians, and again in the book of reproof. Then you have Colossians, and that is the book of corrections about the doctrine related to Ephesians. And so there's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and they have a category, and these books are related to the book of doctrine in Romans. Look, when you get the book of Ephesians, does Paul rehash what was he taught, what we was taught in Romans?
Yeah.
Does he? He don't go back over about being saved. What is Ephesians, what's the main purpose of the book of Ephesians? What kind of doctrine is it going to give you?
Mystery.
It's talking about the mystery truth, advanced mystery truth of where we're at in the heavenly. He don't rehash about you being saved, you're in sin. He already knows you. You already got that down when you come over there. So that's very, very important as we teach this. And there's a doctrine in Ephesians, and there are some misbehavior about it, not living like it's true, and some doctrine errors. And then you have 2 Thessalonian epistles, and after Thessalonians, those are no more church epistles. You realize that? There's no more church epistles after Thessalonians. Now, There's 9 epistles that Paul writes to the church. You know what they are?
1 Corinthians.
Well, let's go down the order. I'd like to take. You have what? Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, sorry. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. That's 9 epistles that he writes. You know how many epistles there are over here?
9.
Hebrews, there are also 9 epistles, Hebrews, Revelations, Hebrew, written to the Hebrew churches, circumcised churches, 9 of them. First thing Paul epistles is about the cross. The focus on the book of Romans is the doctrine related to what Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross. And Romans explains the cross to the body of Christ, just like the book of Hebrews explains the cross to Israel in the New Covenant program. They're going to have books over here that's going to lead doctrine, reproof, correction. Let me ask you this right quick. Do you think if you jumped over here right now and started believing this is to you and for you, and you started working those epistles, what kind of shape would you be in right now?
Well, we go.
Confused.
How so?
Doctrinally.
Doctrinally. You'd be confused. You wouldn't know, wait a minute, I thought the Messiah. Well, I'm looking for the Antichrist. Jesus Christ is coming back. You would be doctrinally confused. If you're here today in the body of Christ, which we are, the dispensation of grace, and you take the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts as your doctrine and try to apply it to you today, how would you feel?
Like the rest of the world right now.
There you go. Confused. Like 90% of people out there today. And you wonder why people's confused. And you wonder why people says, you know, it's religious stuff. It's really touchy. It's sensitive. I really don't want to talk about it. Why? Because they're confused. But when you talk with somebody and say, look, I know where you've been. And I know where you're at. And you, if you just, I don't want to step on your toes, but if you just consider this, don't go up to them and say, I'm going to tell you something. What usually happens? They shut down on it. But if you say, let me, will you just consider this for a minute? And you talk to them about what the Lord did, and circumcision, uncircumcision, it makes a difference. And Roman explains that. Hebrews, you can pass from the old covenant to the new covenant. That brings up a question, don't it? Are you covenant people? Was there ever a covenant God ever signed to you, the body of Christ?
No.
So when you talked about the people, talking about your covenant people, covenant theology and stuff, they ain't got nothing to do with you. The covenants and stuff that he promised the nation Israel that he fulfilled over there. That's why when he, go to Ephesians chapter 2 right quick. I'm going to stray away from this for a second. What do we say about the book of Ephesians? It's a book of doctrine for what? The man's mystery truths? Okay. There's something very, very important to see.
Heavenly places.
Chapter 2. Verse 1 says, And you hath he quickened, and were made dead in trespasses and sins. Who were dead, he's quickened you. Okay? Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh and children of disobedience. Now, where was you walking at? The Gentiles, this is you personally right here, okay? How was you walking?
Disobedient.
Contrary to God.
According to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air. Now, if the prince of power of the air, you know who he is. He's also the God of this world. If he was walking his course out there, is that spiritual and physical? I mean, honestly, if you was unsaved, you was out there following this course of this world, you was doing it by the flesh too, wasn't you?
Yeah.
Then he says, and the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So by nature you was following that course of this world. And if you're following the course of the world today, is that good?
No.
That's what I'm not afraid to point things out. The things that's going out there in this world, you need to identify with it as bad. And you say it's bad, stay away from it. Now, whether you go towards it, it's not just so much sin, it's the course of this world. And if the course of this world is going on, listen, I refer people back to Ezekiel all the time when God uses King of Tyrus and the Prince of Tyrus, and they're Satan in this world, and what they was doing, merchandising, human trafficking. And you look at the world today, that human trafficking out there is needs to be shut down. And the things that they're, I mean, it's so corrupt out there, it's unbelievable. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ by his grace. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now, where I want you to go, verse 11, y'all know this. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time, that's times past over here, we done went through that, ye without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, who had the covenants of promises?
Israel.
Who was not alienated Israel. From God?
Israel.
Who was not? Who had hope?
Israel.
Who was had God in the world?
Israel.
That's all. Romans chapter 9 verse 4 and all that stuff. If you want to, who are the Israelites pertaining to God? They had the oracles. They had it all. But we had nothing dispensationally. Then you read, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's that spiritual wall that was up. The spiritual wall, we could not get to Christ. Then he says, for he is our peace who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. There's that wall, Jim. And that wall was a legal wall. You had a spiritual wall already up between us and God because of who we were. Then you had a legal wall. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace. How many men? He's going to take the believing remnant of Israel and the body of Christ and us, make one man. Now, that one man is who? Christ Jesus. He does the thinking for us. Then it says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body at the cross. What does that word say, guy? You should have that underlined in your Bible.
By the cross.
By the cross. It's not, there are things happen at the cross. But it's by the cross, having slain the enemy thereof. There goes the physical wall. Those walls are broken down. And there's no walls between us and Jesus Christ and God Almighty today for those who are saved. And came and preached peace to you that was afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. If you don't have that doctrine down and understanding about dispensational truths, you can be mixed up and have been mixed up. So as we continue in our studies, keep that in mind. We're going into Romans through Philemon, where we need to be. Right? In our studies, but we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. Now, you know what that means. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the Bible has a way rightly dividing it. Father, thank you for a day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do thank you for tuning in once again to our Bible time here at Dispensational Bible Church. And if you want to help contribute to our ministry, there's a donut button on the website, or you can write us and email us and text us. Until next week, may God bless you.